How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Within football, we have silos.
We're going to talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and that week, they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. We're on Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And the Green Bay Packers are still good at football, winning 10-38 in Green Bay against the bitter rival San Francisco 49ers, who are at full strength. Absolutely. Packers are 8-3. It was a good weekend. I was up north. I was actually in Wisconsin watching the game at the hunting shack. Did not shoot a deer. Did not see a single deer, which was not as much fun. But Todd, what a game. What a performance, right? But how are we feeling?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Niners look really bad, but that's only because they played us, right?
Yes,
I mean, that's
yes.
What it was. We looked so good. I don't know. I mean, we did what we were supposed to do. You really can't ask for much more. 38 points on offense, holding the Niners to 10, regardless of who's playing. Still,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's a good day at the office, right? Like, it's solid. We didn't screw it up. It wasn't a trap game. Like, we just did what we were supposed to do. It doesn't move the needle for me, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of sucked because we obviously recorded last week, but it wasn't until Wednesday during the day we record on Tuesdays that it was like, oh, Brock Purdy might not play. And then Thursday it became pretty clear he wasn't going to play. And then Brandon Allen, who I think most people are like, who the hell is that guy, ended up starting when they have Josh Dobbs on the team too, which is
right.
Kind of surprising.
I
that
thought he was
going to
play.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I was fine with it. The most unassuming quarterback of all time. It was nice how that one play he runs out of bounds and falls over and Zach Tom just kind of looks at him and doesn't help him up. You remember that?
That was super funny. And I was like, who is, oh, it's Zach Tom. Oh, he's just staring at him. It's like, what is going on? Is there bad blood between Zach Tom and Brandon Allen?
That's a very good question. We might have to look into that, but probably not. Probably not going to have to look into that. Yeah, in the Packers, again, they're 2-0 now during Wisconsin's Whitetail opener. Previous 7 years, we lost during the Whitetail opening weekend.
When you said 2-0, I was like, did we have like bye weeks? I was like confused.
No.
Last 2 years, we're 2-0.
Yes, last year was the Chargers, which was kind of the game where we really started to turn it around too, and Jordan Love had a decent game. Dontavian Wicks had a really, really good game where he had that one pass where he broke like three tackles, and he hasn't really been the same dude since. But yeah, this episode we'll talk the offense and defense, break down the whole game. The other thing, huge, gigantic news, SVP is back again. Once again, shit, vomit, and piss. Huge, huge
people
week.
People are clamoring for SVP.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's probably been like 2 months, I think, since we've had it. We'll have Stump Spenny, Packers trivia, and then we'll preview the Niners game. Who are we playing? We're playing the Dolphins game. But first, Packers again winning 10-38. I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about it on the top, but how do you feel? Do you feel good? How do you feel about this game and how everything went? Because obviously it was a very hampered Niners team. No Bosa, no Trent Williams, no Brock Purdy. You know, it was a pretty big game for the Niners too, who they're a game or two out of their division now. It pretty much eliminates them from possibly making the wild card. But are you proud of our team right now beating this San Francisco 49ers?
I don't know if I'd go as... Yeah, I don't know if I... Yeah, I guess they are a team.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say proud. Like I said, this doesn't really move the needle for me. Like, watching that game, I was like, oh... Like, I haven't seen a lot of Niners games this year. I'm like, oh, they are bad. Like, this is like... There's just... They just don't have... They have Kittle, right? Kittle's great. They have Debo. Debo, you put the ball in Debo's hands and he can do stuff. Like, they have a couple guys, but like, even like that offensive line... is just like not as mean as it used. That defensive line, there's nothing there. There's like literally nothing left of the defensive line. So I don't know. It's just, you kind of look at that and you're like, eh, it's just kind of a nothing game. But we did what we were supposed to do, and it was fun to watch the run game. Like, that was really fun. And like, going into cold weather to see the run game perform like that, it makes you excited.
I agree. Yeah, it's one of those where, like, going into halftime, because what was it? It was 7-17. It was like, eh, we're kind of letting them stick around too much. But then obviously the shellacking in the second half and finishing 10-3. We scored a touchdown in every single quarter, which I'm going to assume we haven't done that yet this year. I'm not going to look it up, but pretty consistent throughout most of the game, so I will take that. Yeah, let's just get right into it. The running game, we'll start there. Josh Jacobs, pretty good. 26 for 106. And almost, you know, again, it's like most weeks, it feels like he gets more yards than what he actually does. But obviously the three touchdowns, pretty cool. No catches.
Like, he had
only
like
100
yards at the half. I was like, wasn't there like a stat where he had like 90 some yards at the end of the first half, and then he winds up with 106? It was weird.
I mean, the first drive alone, I think he had over 30 or 40 yards, it seemed like. I mean, he ripped off one of those halfway decent runs.
Can we pause, because I'm glad that you said something? did you get to watch the beginning of the game?
Yes. Yes,
this
I did.
This never, ever fails. The Vikings go into overtime. If the Packers play after the Vikings go to overtime.
Uh-huh.
It's like Murphy's Law. And I'm watching that game, and I'm like, whatever. Like, I did watch a good chunk of that game. It was Bears-Vikings. So I'm in Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and it's like, oh, of course. I think there was like 11 points that they had to make up, and they got it, whatever. Onside kick, got the ball back, kicked field goal.
It was like a minute 11 left. They were down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ludicrous. And then, like, that was the longest overtime ever. Yeah. A side, like, the guy who holds the sticks got injured.
I saw that.
And they had to replace him. And that took like 5 minutes.
Because I was looking. So I had always just like Googled NFL streams. And then I was at the hunting shack. And this is the other thing that's so fucked. So we were watching on YouTube TV. We had been watching the Vikings Bears game. And then I'm watching on my phone. And all I did was Google meth streams, because I keep seeing on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
That's like the number one illegal streaming service. So
hell
yeah. I did it, and it was
it's
awesome.
It's got a nice ring.
Yeah, yeah, very easy to remember. And there's a lot less like ads to like click out of two. There's only two,
yes.
So that was great. And then, get this. So then I AirPlay it or whatever to the smart TV at the hunting shack. It's AirPlay,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The quality,
yeah, something like that.
The quality from the illegal stream on my phone going to the TV was better than the quality from YouTube TV that was like getting paid for.
That's ridiculous, because
crazy.
It has to go from your phone and Bluetooth to the
right.
TV.
Yeah. So the first half of the game, even after it was the Viking game was over, we just kept watching on AirPlay because it was like, well, this
That's
is better
wild.
Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, I forgot where we were. Oh, Josh Jacobs, really good at football. Yeah, 26 for 106, the three touchdowns. And again, long of 18, which just shows you how consistent he was throughout the game. He had a total of 15 missed tackles forced in the game, which is great. At halftime, he had 10 forced missed tackles, which is pretty wild. He's the first player to run for over 100 yards against the Niners since 2021. I had to put 2000 in there, I guess.
Wow.
And he's just... I don't know. Again, I say it every week. I hate watching him wearing number 8. Like, if it were 28 or something else, I'd feel so much better about it. But he is just that mix, and he's not as good as these powers combined, but Eddie Lacy and Aaron Jones, because especially this week, too, the last 2 weeks, this spin move that he does kind of at the
that
end
was
of
the
plays.
Most crisp spin move in the opening drive.
Yeah, yeah.
That was unreal.
So he does that. He can run dudes over. But he has like that short area quickness too that Aaron Jones had, but he doesn't take those big hits. Like, Aaron Jones every single week, there's at least one hit where you're like, oh, is he going to get up? And he usually would. But Josh Jacobs, that just doesn't happen. Like, he punishes dudes every week. And I don't know, he just shows us a little bit of everything, it seems like.
The thing with Aaron Jones, why he always got hit so hard too, is like Aaron Jones was like, weirdly, he would like cut off the wrong foot. Like, he would do all these things that don't look like you should be doing them. And it kind of like gives him like this tightrope walking where he's like off balance, but still like, yes. And then he gets hit and it's like he gets destroyed. Where like, yeah. Josh Jacobs is like kind of like a wider stanced back. Like, he doesn't tiptoe around. He's like square to the line. You know what I mean? Like, picking mm-hmm. his spots. Like, so they're very, which I'm like, almost, I can't even think of a running back that we've had that's like that. But he's more of like, he's almost like, kind of runs like Tolbert. Remember Tolbert from back in the day? Oh, what was his name? Was it
for the Chargers? Mike Tolbert?
Mike Tolbert.
Like, he was literally up. A fullback.
He was huge. But like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. that was a really bad comparison. But I just mean like the way he's like square to the line. Obviously, Mike Tolbert can never do that spin move. Horrible comparison. I'm going to retract that statement.
We should linger on it more.
I just like the way that he's like always seems like he's going forward, where like so many backs lose your 5 or 10 yards sometimes that are going for those chunk plays.
Yeah. And I think like Matt Schneidman put out the one screenshot. But there was the one play where he's like 3 yards in the backfield and someone's hitting him, and it ended up being a 1 yard run.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that Aaron Jones, he did have a lot of big plays, but he would get caught in the backfield quite a bit too. And there hasn't been those big losers in the run game much with Josh Jacobs. But even just, I mean, the run game in general is just fun to watch, especially like that first drive when we're in our scripted plays, like the kind of circular, like play, not play action, but like the fake like sweep almost to Reed or whoever the second back is, and then the inside handoff to Jacobs where Jordan Love's like spinning around while it's going on, and then Tucker Kraft is coming in a motion, stopping, then breaking the other way to lead block. It's like, this is fun. The running game has never been as fun as it is right now, it feels like.
100%. And the closest thing was like Eddie Lacy, just because he was a tank. But I do think, like, we talked about this before, like, if you want to stop the Packers run game, this is who I'm watching when I think we're running, because I'm like, where is Tucker Kraft? Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's yes. where we're going. And sometimes he's like moving across the line at the snap, so like you can't really judge it. But I'm like, if Tucker Kraft's on that side of the ball, there's a good chance it's either a misdirection and Tucker's going to lead the other way, or it's going right behind Tucker. And it's so much fun to watch.
And then in this game too, I thought Emmanuel Wilson looked pretty solid. 9 carries, 91 yards. But those couple long ones he had like back to back or that same series, very fun. That long one, I mean, when he took it outside and there was the one defender and he's going out of bounds, but he still like banged his shoulder into it. It is actually kind of like a year ago against the Chargers is when he got hurt, where he took that hit while going out and hurt his shoulder. But that's just something you love to see, especially at smash mouth football that we're not too used to, and something that we never ever would have gotten out of AJ Dillon. Brooks, I don't know, not his best game, not like there's much to talk about there, but he is like top 5. I think he's number 3 according to Pro Football Focus for pass blocking running backs in the league. So I'll take that. But overall, the offense, this is, I mean, it's again, it's like 2 weeks of a really good run game, but this is kind of more of the offense I would have liked when Rodgers was in town towards the end of his career, where I think he was just doing a little bit too much, and it's nice to lean back on the run game. Moving on. Pass game, Jordan Love. I mean, you got to start there. 13 for 23, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked twice, which both seemed to kind of be his fault more than anything else, but whatever. So, didn't throw a pick. Did not throw a pick in this game. Do you know the last time Jordan Love had a game where he didn't throw an interception?
Well, it wasn't this year, because every game this year he's thrown a pick. I'm going to say, did he throw one against Thanksgiving last year against the Lions? Did he throw a bunch? I don't know.
The first game he did not throw a pick. Last game he did not throw a pick. It was the Cowboys game in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, so is that. Yeah. I was going to say Thanksgiving, that is we're talking over a year. Well. I'm like, I think you're thinking of the opposite thing here.
Well, not over a year.
Yeah, but either way, again, pretty solid game out of him. He only I think we just have to accept the fact that every game he's going to have at least one knucklehead throw. He had the one to Dobbs and Watson that potentially could have gotten picked off. But we've mentioned
a few bad balls.
Yeah, that was mostly just those two, I think.
After Christian Watson dropped the ball, he was like, it's like he got a concussion. And he just like couldn't help but throw bad balls.
He was pissed. He was pissed at that point. He was taking his anger out on the ball and just trying to see how far he could throw it. But yeah, quietly his deep ball has gotten better. He doesn't throw a beautiful ball. Anytime there's like a replay of a Jordan Love throw, it's a little bit wobbly, it seems like. But the one to Watson, fuck, that was one of the best throws I feel like he's had all year, and Watson just dropped it. You know, have you ever watched What We Do in the Shadows?
No. Sounds weird.
I might have mentioned this before on the podcast. So it's the show about vampires. It's pretty funny. There's a movie and there's a TV show that had a few seasons. I think it might be done now. But there's regular vampires, which you're used to seeing, you know, like Nosferatu and shit, Dracula. And then there's energy vampires, which are just, they show like really boring guys. Like that's one of the examples, like a boring guy at an office job who just walks up and has really awkward conversations and just emotionally sucks the life out of them. That's what Christian Watson is when he's off like this. Because after he dropped that ball, it was like, fucking amen. And he was an energy vampire because Jordan Love after that is just fucking chucking balls up. He's not using his brain correctly. I don't know. It's to the point where it's like we need to have a full month of Christian Watson playing well, or when that ball's hanging up in the air, I'm just going to be questioning if he's going to be able to catch the ball.
Well, in that one, he had so much separation. It was such an MVS drop. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no more MVS drop than that. He had like 3 or 4 yards of separation. It was like an insane amount on that deep ball. And he just like, it was too easy. It was too easy. That's why he dropped it. If you had given put a hand in his face, he would have caught that for sure. Like, that's one of those where it's like, you almost like give up concentration. And it was like a little bit close to his body. Like, I don't know. It was too easy.
Yeah, I think Sterling Sharp talked about it, how the first Packer playoff win in Detroit back in like 94 or 95, it was like a wide open touchdown catch. And he said it was one of the hardest catches of his career because it was just hung up there so long that he's thinking about it. So,
but he caught it.
But he did. But Jordan Love, I mean, again, I still think he's heating up slowly but surely because we talked about the deep ball to Watson. Then after that, he's slinging it. But he had that one to Dobbs where he just ripped it in there. And that whole drive afterwards, it was just rocket ball. And it's like, okay, I feel like he's playing with more confidence after being a little wishy-washy there for, you know, that first month or two coming back from his injury.
So Jordan Love did throw some bad balls, and like for a second there, it was looking pretty gross if they could have just caught a couple of them. But like the receivers, I had this thought. I just was like, I'm really just feeling that the receivers are really letting Jordan Love down in like key spots. Like Romeo Dubs dropped two. I think one was a third down and one was maybe, did he drop one near the end zone? I can't remember. But like I'm just watching guys drop balls. Where I'm like, these are like almost like turning points in the game. And like when they do it, there's just green in front of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And like Romeo, I'm not blaming Romeo. He did make some really nice plays. Those 3 catches that he had were really important. But it's just like the guys are just dropping the balls and like really putting Jordan in a bad spot in key situations because he's not throwing the ball that much, right? He's throw the ball 23 times and your teammates drop 4 of them. That's significant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel bad for him.
And again, if Watson just catches that one, Jordan Love's completion percentage is going to be so much higher. And didn't want to talk about this, but I do want to talk about it because I did take a screen grab of it to talk about. Ross Uglum, God, he has really soured on me the last year. The Captain Hindsight, the confirming priors. So after Watson dropped that ball, like everyone was like, oh, of course he dropped it, or whatever. So Ross like quote tweeted someone and said, people being broken after his first drop of the season is flatly confirmation of priors. And it's like, just because statistically it's a drop for Christian Watson, like there have been multiple balls this year where he ran himself out of, you know, a contested catch or an actual catch because he lost the ball in the air for whatever reason. And coming from Ross Uglum saying it when he lives in North Dakota, he covered NDSU and he was a huge Christian Watson fan coming out of the draft. It's hilarious because he defends him any possible time. And to see, like, you know, people like tweet him after, kind of like how when you immediately blame Quay or Nixon for a play that wasn't their fault, it's like Ross loves talking about other people confirming priors, but when someone else brings it up about him, we're not going to talk about this.
Christian Moore, his brother or Ross?
Oof, it that's very tough, but it has to be it has to be his brother. I mean,
definitely his brother.
Romeo Dubs, you touched on it. I mean, he had a solid game. The third down catches were all huge. Every single one of his catches were on third down. He's just been that safety valve all year. He did get that concussion. I would be shocked if he plays on Thursday on a short week. I mean, he was declared out pretty much immediately when that happened.
Yeah, that's brutal. And it didn't even look like he hit his head that hard. Like, I don't, it was the back of the head, which is obviously the big thing, but like,
it looked, man. It was pretty, I mean, we watched it in like slow-mo, but he very clearly just slammed the back of his head on the Lambeau turf. So it probably,
I was hoping he like landed flat on his back and he just got the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
And then later on, I was like, yeah, definitely.
It's like, oh, good. Five guys helped him off the field.
Yeah, right. He watched that. He's like, never mind.
And then Jaden Reed, I mean, he was fine again. He just hasn't been, you know, we thought he'd be the clear number one, which he was at the beginning of the year. Maybe it turns back into that, but, you know, made the best of his targets, even though Jordan Love loves giving him hospital balls. He was lucky he caught the ball a little early.
That was a little scary.
And then Malik Heath catching his second NFL career touchdown was pretty cool. I would say, do you know what his middle name is? You don't know what his middle name is?
I don't.
Malik Shabazz Heath.
Ooh, that's a sweet name.
Shabazz, very, very cool. And yeah, nice little end zone fade too, which has kind of been missing from the
It was offense. A beautiful catch.
Yeah, it was one of those where you saw it in the air and it was a little fade. It was like, ooh, who is that? It was like, oh, Malik Heath, okay. And no one gets more pumped after a play than Malik Heath. He's the opposite of an energy vampire. He brings everyone up when he catches the ball.
When does Sam catch that ball too? I'm like, man, we got to get him involved in the red zone offense. Like, at the very least, like, red zone maybe is his thing.
Maybe, but I don't want to be hypocrite because it's like, again, it's 1 week. It's like, oh, Heath catch
ride
good.
The hot
it's
hand.
Like it's like we have enough wideouts who aren't
not enough that can catch though.
But at the same time, the limited snaps he's gotten this year and the end of last year, it's like he did drop the ball a lot too. So
what have you done for me lately? Feed Malik Heath.
Yeah. Moving on, Tucker Kraft, 2 for 26 with the tutty, and we've been saying it for weeks. The red zone, and we didn't talk about with Josh Jacobs, but we were 100% in the red zone in this game. Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, and Jaden Reed, I think, are the guys you should be giving it to in the red zone. At least give Tucker one target, because even the one that he scored on, he almost had two in this game. But that first one, it's like, if you pause it when he catches the ball, it does not look like he's going to score. But he always makes at least one guy miss or runs him over, and it's like, that's all you need in the red zone in tight quarters to score. So why don't we just try to focus on Josh and Tucker and see if the red zone production goes up.
Well, and he ran over Josh Myers in the end zone, which was absolutely hilarious. Like, instead, the defender was like coming and like Josh wasn't going to get the block. So he just like snuck behind him and knocked him over and then scored the touchdown. It was hilarious.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with Tucker again. Like, I own him in fantasy, and it's getting tougher and tougher to start him because he's just getting less targets, and I know people really care about that, but I don't know.
Shame that he doesn't get... He needs to see the ball more.
I think so, but I also
find
earlier,
a way to get him the ball.
In the red zone especially, but like earlier this year, I also said we should try to save him so that he's healthy for the playoffs because the way he plays football...
I don't know.
And I just... Even the Packer... social media on like Instagram, they have all these like questions during the week and then players answer them while they're walking to practice. Well, he was walking to practice. He had a huge shoulder harness thing on, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. He still has that shoulder injury. Maybe they don't want to feed him more than he needs it.
I think that's fair if you have a legitimate injury, but this is a hot take. You ready for it?
Oh boy. I bet this is going to be smart, not knucklehead take.
I think the more you get See, this is going to sound bad. It doesn't make sense.
This is what I think.
The more that you consistently are like getting hit and having contact, the less likely you are to get injured.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how to explain what I'm saying.
You can't play half-ass because then you're more likely to get injured too.
And like the more you're like getting hit and like having contact, the more you're like comfortable with it. Your body is like used. I don't even know how to like explain it.
Well, that's why AJ Dillon is no longer in the NFL. It's because he kept getting these stingers because he didn't know how to take hits. He would be just a little baby going in during contact and his neck wasn't ready. So then it crumpled.
That's why. That's the only reason. Yeah, that's it. Can I just say though, we had 10 different receivers catch balls. That is like, if we can, and then like just looking at where the offense too was with running the ball, you had Jacobs, Wilson, Brooks, Melton, and Watson all rush the ball.
Targeted. Not, it was 7 had receptions, 10 had targets.
Oh, correct. Yes. Sorry.
I had to correct
10
you.
Targets.
Everyone listening was going to look it up and be like, wait a minute.
My bad.
Lying.
My whole thing is like, and I thought this too, when Aaron Rodgers was his best, he was spreading the ball out. He wasn't just like, the defense didn't know who to go after and who to like lock down. And like, that was when I felt like Jordan Love was the best last year too, when he had, I mean, it wasn't necessarily 10 guys, but when it was like, hey, is it Wicks this game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it Reed this game? Is it Dobbs? Like, who is it? And like, that is when this offense could be peaked. So that's an exciting thing looking for. It was fun to see that Fitzpatrick, is he the fullback replacement from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, the H-back kind of replacement. Yeah. Really tall guy. Second career catch. First one as a Packer.
When I saw him catch, I was like, is that Ben Sims? No, it's not.
Yeah, but another massive human being. I think he's like 6'7 or whatever, too. And then the O-line, again, not much to talk about, but this is back to the road grading offensive line. I really hope when Jordan Morgan comes back, he does not play. Just stick with these 5 guys here on out. Let them gel. We're getting into playoff football, it seems like. Again, I think we're at like 90%. Those numbers are popping up this week. Like, what's the percent chance to make the playoffs? It's like, I could give a shit less. Couldn't give a shit less this year. Because it's like, I know we're going to make the playoffs. We're probably not going to overtake the NFC North unless we beat the Lions in 2 weeks or whatever. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, at this point, all that matters is what happens in the 3 or 4 games in the playoffs. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Like, we just got to get there and then see what happens.
If we lose to the Lions in 2 weeks, then I'm in preseason football mode. It's like, yeah, let's try to win these games, but let's also be healthy and ready.
But if we lose to the Lions and then we get to play them again, it's tough to beat. How hard is it to beat a team 3 times in 1 year?
It's literally impossible. It's never happened.
People are asking.
People are asking. People are saying. With that, we will have a quick commercial break.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, pretty solid performance. It was nice seeing Devondre Campbell play for the opposite team and not ours. But I don't know. I mean, 10 points, even if it's a guy we'd never heard of playing quarterback, is still, I'll take it, you know, after giving up 19 the previous week to the Bears. It's like 10 isn't too bad against the Niners. Pass rush, I thought it improved a good chunk. We were at least forcing Brandon Allen to run around a little bit. Rashawn Gary and Quay combining for that strip sack. Kind of a fun stat for them, because Rashawn Gary gets the strip sack, and then Allen fumbled, picked it up, and then Quay gets a tackle for loss because he tackles him after. So it's like, oh, everyone gets a fun little stat on this play. Why are you looking at me funny?
But Rashawn didn't do anything. How does he get the strip sack there?
He still hit him. I think he knocked the ball out a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of juggling the ball, but it's fun when two guys celebrate after the play thinking that they did the big thing. LVN had his strip sack too, which was pretty neat in the backfield. It was one of those where it happened so quick, I like didn't even know what had happened, and all of a sudden we scored another touchdown after that. I think it was the Malik Heath touchdown. But I mean, Quay maybe had his best game as a Packer, probably his best play or best game this year. That's what Jeff Hafley said too. The drop pick was pretty egregious, but at this point, you got to kind of just take that with Quay. I don't think I've ever seen more players with their hands on their helmet after a play than that one. There was three dudes immediately next to him, just like, oh my God, Quay, how could you drop that? But Did Billy
draft him as a wideout in the bye week bonanza?
Wideout or tight end, I believe, yes.
Maybe one it was tight did. End. Yeah. I think it was tight end, yeah. Okay, just want to... he did say in the group chat also that that was a bad pick, but yeah. Sorry, Billy. I'm airmailing your dirty laundry.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone was paying attention to that. Pass D. Again, I mean, no real complaints. Kittle's about the only guy that we had to worry about. Finished with 6 receptions, 82 yards, the 1 touchdown. Besides that, it was Juwan Jennings who had 5 receptions for 40. But, I mean... you really weren't scared about that offense unless they were going to Kittle. The reverse screen pass was pretty neat for them, even though it didn't really work. It felt like a Matt LaFleur play. And then the Kittle touchdown. I know watching out the hunting shack, everyone's like, God, how do you keep Kittle? How is Kittle the guy scoring this touchdown? He should be the one guy. Hafley did essentially say today that they were trying to double team him. And that there should have been someone exactly where the ball went. But somebody made a mistake, and it wasn't Quay. So I think he was saying Evan Williams was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, it did look like the way immediately as the ball is coming out of his hands, like Evan Williams is like darting to the back of the end zone. Like, oh, shit, I missed him. Yeah. So that's too bad. But rookie mistake.
And then X, again, I mean, he had his pick. Nice. He said after the game, too, that just the way the game was going, he was getting ready for tip balls. And had to pick one of those off. And that's obviously what he did. So his first pick in a couple games. And also that huge pass breakup on third or fourth down. I think it was fourth down.
CMC, yeah.
Just the tip of the ball. And it was enough to force the fourth down. But overall, I mean, tough not to be impressed with the pass D.
But how fun is it having safeties? I mean, look at... and Bullard, by the way, has done such a better job the last couple weeks.
Yep.
Tackling, too.
Yeah.
He's made some big saves.
You would notice him out there, and now you're not really noticing him.
Yes, and he made a big play on Christian McCaffrey this week to kind of keep him. He had that one play like out in the flat or whatever where he turned it up, and you're like, oh, shit, this dude can fly. But Bullard got there and made the tackle. Like, I don't know if he's making that tackle 5 weeks ago. But what I was going to say is, like, having Bullard, McKinney, and Evan Williams, and just like being like, oh, the safeties can come down in the box and hit guys? Did you guys know that? That's wild. They can run the alley and you know, deflect a pass against a running back in the flat? Oh, this is fun.
Well, God, that was the thing, too, because the game before was the Bears and the Vikings, and Jonathan Owens did not have a good game for the Bears. There was multiple plays where he got missed tackles or dropped picks. I forgot what it was. And I was like, ah, that's what we got on, I don't know. Every game but the Thanksgiving game, it felt like last year.
Did
with Jonathan
you see
Owens.
He ripped the ball out of Aaron Jones' hands, though, at the goal line and forced a fumble?
No, I did not see that.
I just happened to be watching at that time, and it was like, oh, I heard Jonathan Owens, and then I saw the ball come out, and I was like, oh, Jonathan Owens stripped Aaron Jones at the goal line. That was pretty funny.
Speaking of lost Packers safeties, Corey Ballantyne was in this game briefly for a few snaps. He's number 26. He looks like Charlie Peppra. I saw him out there, and I don't know why sometimes my brain just goes back to it. Same thing with like JJ Anagbari at times being number 55. I think of Andy Mulumba back in the day.
Mulumba.
Mm-hmm. Rogers.
You know what I caught like a glimpse. They panned to the sidelines for some reason, and Gary and LVN were on the sidelines, and so was JJ. And I was like, who is rushing the passer here? And then I looked when they went back to the screen, it was Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby were our two ends. And I was like, ooh, I kind of like this. Like, it's like fourth line in hockey where you're just like, just go out there and
they're
just
fresh.
Give us all you got. You're fresh. Yeah. I thought that was pretty fun. They didn't do anything, but it was fun to see.
I don't know why. I'm just going to say it anyways. It reminds me, what was it? High school hockey, I think, to make playoffs. Didn't we go into like triple OT? I wasn't playing. I think I was sick at home watching. But it was like triple OT or four OTs.
That does sound right.
And I think Kyle Wielander still wasn't on the ice, even though it was like that late in the game. You got to think, he's like, come on, give me a shift. And it's like, no, we're going to put Bish back out there, even though he's played the entire game or whatever.
That is tough. I don't remember that specifically, but I do remember there being some crazy overtime games.
Yes. Other than that, Eric Stokes, he was back to having nearly half of the snaps on defense. Less than ideal, but I guess with Jair being out, whatever, and maybe that's more of a eating up some snaps on a short week, so you don't have other guys playing more. And I mean,
we didn't talk about Keyshawn's forced fumble.
Hold on. Run defense. Again, we held the Niners to 44 yards rushing. Keyshawn had that nice play where he was the opposite corner and ran down.
Wild.
McCaffrey just barely punched the ball. Like, legit, he wasn't in the play until the very, very end, and McCaffrey's already falling over from someone else tackling him, and he just, boop, punches that ball out.
Wait, that might have been the Bullard tackle play. That might have been it.
It might have been, yeah. I'll nod and agree. But yeah, it was nice. Did you see what he said after the game?
No.
Said his locker room after the game, you know, he ran down McCaffrey, blah, blah. He said, quote, I ain't made a play since like week four. I've been itching. Finally. Damn. So nice to see that.
There is something though to like having guys in your team that are just like, they're not content. And like Keyshawn does make mistakes, and it's tough when you put him in a situation where he's got to cover a guy that's got a little bit more speed than he does. He doesn't have much of a chance. But like watching him like go out and make, he's got a little bit of that dog in him, which like Jair has. You got guys like Bullard that have it, and you can just like, that's the attitude this defense needs and what's been missing for so long. It's like, we were always on our heels. Now we're on our toes, like attacking, which is like completely different.
And that's the thing, you know, people love getting pissed off at Keyshawn, like Ross Uglum, but again, he's put in a tough spot. He has to know the slot. He needs to be playing outside too. And again, it's dumb, but no matter what, you know he's giving it his all when he's out there. So it's a little bit tougher to get upset with.
And him. Kind of like the opposite of Jair, where like I feel like Keyshawn would play through anything in that sense.
Yes. I would agree with that. Yes. I would say I'm trying to. Like Kevin King, I never got the, he's all about it when he's out there. But I don't think we need to put more dirt on Kevin King's name. Special teams. It comes up multiple times a year. But God, do I hate the fucking sky cam again on that long return. Nobody
which
wants
came
this.
Back.
Yeah, which came back, which we were lucky on that because that was a bullshit holding call.
Hang on. I think it's a little bit electric when the camera can't keep up and you're like, what? Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
Because
I think it's like a little bit.
I couldn't get mad at what was happening on the field because I couldn't fully see it. Like, I'm legit yelling at the sky cam, not at Rich Bisaccia, which I should be yelling at. But it's like, use the sky cam for things that aren't live. Use it when they're like coming out for the play, after the play, replays or whatever. During a live, live play, don't.
It's kind of electric.
Shut the fuck up.
It is electric.
No, it is not. It is not used properly. It's not.
Because actually, like, if you, that sucked because we were on the losing end of that play, even though it came back. But like, imagine you're. Was a sky cam around when Randall Cobb returned that ball?
Keyshawn had a return touchdown last year or the year before with a sky cam, and I couldn't enjoy it fully because I couldn't see him run it back the whole time. So do not give me that
argument.
Here's
the thing. If the sky cam is in the right spot and the returner hits the hole and you're like head on and the returner's running at you, nothing more electric in sports than that angle.
Give me the replay of it. Then give me the replay of it. I don't need to see that live because I still don't know fully where he is on the field when he's hitting that hole. I despise it.
I love it more now.
You piece of, yeah. And then Brandon McManus had a 51-yard field goal that just barely stuck through off his foot. It looked like it was going to go wide left, and then it just straightened out. So finally, a 50-plus-yard field goal made for the Packers this year. So I will take it.
Wait, is that the only one?
I believe so. Yeah, because his only other miss was like a 48-yarder.
Didn't Narvison make? Really?
I don't think he attempted one over 50 yards, but I could be wrong on that.
To the stats.
It's super important. Did you see he had a workout with the Jets too a couple weeks ago?
Oh, did he?
And Anders Carlson, I believe, is the kicker for the Jets currently.
I did see that. Actually, I had a bye week, a kicker on bye, and so I was looking for a kicker. and you know, you go through like your filters and stuff, and I was like, what? Is he really on the team? But
that's it.
Nothing over 50.
Okay. Okay.
That for was, Narveson.
That
sorry.
Was, that was a pretty quick stats.
That was, yeah. Nope.
So anything else with this game? Are you feeling pretty good about this team? I'm feeling pretty good. Again, it's just we're in this purgatory of we're not as good as Detroit, but I feel like we're just as good as the Eagles and the Vikings. You know, we're just right there. We just need to get hot at the right time when we get in the playoffs.
I feel good about the team. I think we definitely need to see the pass game take off a little bit. Like we just need to see the mistakes go away in the pass game and on the offense. And then this defense is a little bit like, if we don't turn the ball over, it's a bit of a shit show. So like, we gotta keep turning the ball over.
I still feel good about the defense though, because we have a plan every single week. And
Quay plays like he played this week,
true. That is a
then yes.
Halfley was talking about it too, how like during the week, like in practice, he was practicing like with so much confidence and he was like giving it his all. And then, you know, he played well too. So he's like, maybe he just needs to practice this way. But
it took him this long to figure out how to play in a 4-3.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked if the worst game of his career comes on Thursday.
Like, yeah, probably.
That's just kind of how it's gone with Quay.
But when he is playing well, like when he's pursuing outside, he's actually like when he's using it, that's his athleticism and not his brain. He's great.
Yeah.
Like, just don't make Quay think.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him chase the ball. Well, like, I think that's what we need him.
I think that's why they had him blitz early, yeah, too, to blitz help him. Force that. Because it's like, yeah, just have him go out there and not use his brain.
Every week that goes by, I'm more and more like, he should be on the edge.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to be.
We say it every week. Yes.
Every week. I'm going to say it again next week.
And with
when he has a horrible game.
Yeah. And with that, we will move on to something we don't have every week. Oh, I don't have a drop for it, so I'm not going to make it like a drop. But SVP for the week, shit, vomit, and piss, everyone's
favorite
segment.
Can you make
segment.
A drop for this? This oh, is, I mean.
I did have the one that I forgot I had. I think I deleted that episode now, so I'd have to record everything.
Oh, no. What?
I had a fart noise, a vomit noise, and then a piss noise.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. That's exactly what you need.
We'll see if you're listening now, you'll know if we had the drop or not. I don't know what awkward time that we had it at, but SVP for the week. Hey, we had some fun little bits here. Ooh, I do have the drop. So Matt LaFleur earlier, or this was last week, it must have been Wednesday during his availability. He was asked a question about Rashid Walker, our left tackle, who obviously has been having a pretty solid year. You know, I don't think a lot of people have talked about him, but he's been very, very solid at left tackle. It might have been your best prediction for the season, Todd, where it was unsung hero and you picked him. And like, I had Evan Williams, but it's like, yours is probably more accurate because he's been...
Because unsung.
He's been less sung.
Because nobody talks about him.
Right. So this is what Matt LaFleur said when Rashid Walker was brought up and, you know, his work during the week.
We always talk about, you know, walk through to Indy to team and then team ultimately to game day. And so I think he's done a really good job with that. And it's got to continue because I always tell him, I don't want to pat you on the butt and you poop my hand. So.
Two more things, that girl, or did she get that from?
I have said that's an old line that. With some other words, but that was the PG version right there.
So I like that, too, because one, you know, the segment is SVP. He says poop there, but he makes it pretty clear the actual saying is shit, which is the name of our segment. But Todd, have you ever heard of that saying before?
Poop in your hand slap him in the butt?
If I'm patting you on the butt, don't shit in my hand.
Don't shit in my hand? Yeah. Never heard of it.
I've never heard that one either. It's
I don't think it's real.
He said it's like a saying, which...
Where's he from?
He's from Michigan. I believe he grew up in the Michigan.
That does sound like a Michigan thing to say.
Yeah, some weirdos
that
over,
actually checks
over there
out.
Way out east. Yeah. It does make you think, though, just saying that and the way he's going about it, it's like, Rashid Walker must have been one of those guys who maybe didn't take his job very seriously when he first came into the league. You know, his rookie year, he didn't have a I don't think he's suited up for a single game. I know he didn't play on offense at all. And it seems like maybe he's just one of those guys that they need to keep motivated or, you know, remind him that this is a job and all that shit. And now it's like, hey, I think he's finally getting it now because we haven't had many complaints this year at the beginning of the year. The first month it was penalties. But since he's gotten that cleaned up, I mean, shoot, he disappears on Sundays, which is all you really can ask for a left tackle.
100% true. Do you have more SVP stories here?
I have one for shit, one for vomit, one for piss.
Holy shit, you're filling it out. I'm Googling while we're doing this. Did you, the Najee Davenport one, did we already go over that?
I assume we did. Yeah, bro, yeah. He's shit in a hamper.
In the article, it says that he said voided.
Voided?
Which, like, I was just thinking of, like, it might be fun to, like, mix it up a little bit. And we've got, like, poop for pee, V for mm-mm. voided.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe we'll have to do that next time, because vomit is a very tough one to find.
Oh, so you could do puke. Puke for pee, voided for shit.
Right, but either way, finding one for puke, vomit, or throwing up, it always has to be shit, vomit, and piss. We need one of each, I think.
Yeah, okay.
No matter what letter. No matter which way we read them off, I think.
You can't. What is another P? There's no P's. There's no another version of piss.
Urine?
You can't. But why? Can't S. Anyways, we're off track.
I see what you're saying. For V, for vomit, I mean, I couldn't find much. Again, I know we talked about the Alan Lazard thing when he threw up violently a couple years ago at the Saints game when he had like two touchdowns. But hey, again, the only thing I could bring up that we haven't talked about was the Pancha Karma cleanse that Aaron Rodgers did. It was the first thing that he had to eat was
ayahuasca?
Was vomit, which induces severe spell of vomiting to clean out the upper gut. So that's what he did. Again, it's still weird to me how I think
it's called vomit.
Vomit. Eat this vomit so you can vomit.
Gross.
But I still don't understand how, like, the him going into the hole for a week or whatever it was, like 3 days, became more of a story than this cleanse where he literally vomited, shit his himself. Brains out, and all that. But I think everyone
probably peed also.
Yeah. So I'm sure people are aware of that. I got to find, if you got Packer vomit stories, please send them in. It's very,
if you
very important
to me. You have to go to, like, page 38, because if you Google Packers vomit,
I tried.
All it is it's when Josh Myers threw up on the ball this year. That's all you get.
I even went on
it's horrible.
DuckDuckGo or whatever, and then I filtered out like anything before 2022
anything
to like
with 2000. Josh Myers.
And well, all I was getting was Alan Lazard and some other little things, but nothing too serious. But that's vomit. On to piss, the last one, very important. This is from a piece that Ty Dune put out. Again, I don't really like Ty Dune. I think he's an incredibly biased writer. He loves like talking up certain people. Like he would build up who's the Giants head coach, Dabble or whatever? Dabo? Yeah.
Greg Dabble.
He's had a terrible year. Ty hasn't said anything about Dabble, even though like, you know, the fucking Wyatt neighbors has called him out and shit. But then he just ignores that and then he'll just talk up guys who he's talked about. Whatever. Anyways. He wrote a story about Evan Williams and Leroy Butler, and this is one of the quotes from that story, which he posted on Twitter, and I think he deleted this one after for whatever reason, but all his articles were behind a paywall, so don't pay for it, whatever. So this is part of it. To Williams, it's simple. He needs to trust that everybody will be exactly where they need to be, because if he strays, that's when a defense ruptures. That's how a team loses the game. All music to Butler's ears. Leaning back in his black Hall of Fame windbreaker, he looks more like a proud papa because, dagum, when he was a rookie, quote, I was glad we had yellow pants, Butler said, because I wet my pants. I ain't never played in no pros before. I was scared. I was terrified. Laughing again, Williams doesn't believe him, saying, no way he peed himself. Butler, I'm serious. Definitely. or defiantly. Quote, because in college, I was like, hey, man, I dare you to throw it over here. And the pros, they're all coming at you. And then they're, whatever. Williams says he has no nerves on game day, whatever. But, hey, Leroy Butler pissed his pants on game day his rookie year. Pretty exciting. Pretty cool to know that. A future Hall of Fame safety pissed his pants. You know, you ain't cool if you don't piss your pants.
Yeah, and who hasn't been there, right? Piss yourself, shit yourself. We've all been there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. You know, the older you get, you have more close calls and stuff. But I haven't pissed myself in a while.
The frequency is high to start, you have a reprieve mm-hmm. for like 50, 60 years, mm-hmm. and then it just comes right back. So we'll be there again too.
Yeah, what, a parabola? If it were on yeah. a chart?
Yeah, but at the opposite. top of the bell curve.
It's a big valley.
It's the inverse bell curve, right? With maybe high frequency maybe on
like
each end.
One little dot in the middle, like, oh yeah, I got really drunk and I pissed yeah. myself.
Have you had Thai food? Good luck.
So that is SVP for the week. Again, if you have a vomit story from the Packers, maybe you were just tailgating at Lambeau and you threw up. That's a good story, too.
Yeah, maybe you shit yourself in the stadium. Tell us about it.
That was, yeah, I remember some pre-games where someone in our group at the Packer-Viking game, I think she, like, shit herself or something.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny, but I believe that happened. We've never had any wild games at Lambeau.
No, not wild.
Yeah, there was that one time where we all tested the breathalyzer to see who was the most sober for who would
yes.
drive home. And I think you were the winner.
Yes, I was the winner. I was the most sober, which I was a little surprised yeah. that I was the most.
You were under the limit. It was like a $15 keychain, I think my mom gave me. So I'm sure it was super accurate.
Oh, it was probably, yes. It was very accurate.
But the guy who was driving was like at a one, and we were like,
We're like, hang on a second. We actually shouldn't do this. So we were responsible. Yeah. Be responsible, kids.
And then we drove for like half an hour, stopped at McDonald's, sobered up, and then yeah. we were good after
that. We did not stop at McDonald's. We stopped at Culver's.
Are you really?
I'm almost sure we stopped at Culver's and like Wausau.
Hmm. I guess we'll have to fact check. I think Zim was with us on that one. We'll have to ask him.
We'll have to ask.
He might be yes. listening. Zim, if you're listening or whatever, leave a comment on the Spotify episode. We didn't have any this week. Oh, well, we do have time. We don't have a lot to talk about this week. Also, while looking for throw-up stories or vomit stories, I found this. Again, this is sad, but it's a little bit funny. I think enough time has passed, and he was a Packer legend, but still. It popped up the... Max McGee dying. So do you know how Packer Hall of Fame wide receiver Max McGee, how he sadly passed away?
I have no idea.
It's a little late. I wish I found this earlier in the season, more like a month ago, just so we have some safety precautions out there. But here we go. This is what popped up. This is from ESPN whatever. Minneapolis. Max McGee, the free-spirited Green Bay Packers receiver who became part of the Super Bowl lore after a night on the town, died when he fell while clearing leaves from his roof at his home. He was 75.
Oh, no.
I had no idea that's how he died. I thought he died more recently, and this was 2007. I had no idea. Police were called to his home in suburban Deep Haven on Saturday afternoon. Sergeant Chris whatever said efforts to resuscitate failed. This is from Paul Horning, quote, "I just lost my best friend," he told the Pioneer Press. This is from the Pioneer Press. "His wife, Denise, was away from the house. She'd warned him not to go up there. He shouldn't have been up there. He knew better than that." But it's just, you don't want to laugh at it, but Max McGee, who then famously, I'm sure everyone knows this, he got drunk. He went out the night before the first Super Bowl.
It's like the best story.
Yeah, and it's in here, too, where McGee had only four receptions in 1966 regular season. He didn't plan to play in the title game against the Chiefs because he violated the team curfew and spent the night before partying. The next morning, he reportedly told Boyd Dowler, quote, "I hope you don't get hurt. I'm not in very good shape." Dowler separated a shoulder on the Packers' second drive, and Lombardi summoned McGee. He had to borrow a helmet because he left his in the locker room. I love how it's like... It's in the middle Jeez. Of the game. It's three drives into the game, pretty much. And he had to borrow someone's helmet because he still didn't have it. A few plays later, McGee made his one-handed pass, and it was the first touchdown in Super Bowl history. So there you go. But someone who did not play by the rules still played by them very risky at the end of his life. And, hey, be safe when you're clearing leaves off the top of your roof and getting them out of the gutters, I guess. So. Another little story there from Packers history. Todd, do you have the stump spinning?
Every time.
You know, you were looking at me with a blank face.
I was like, I know something's coming. All right. Stump spinny, is that what we're doing first?
Yep, we're doing stump spinny right now.
Okay. Yep. Okay. The stump spinny this week is in the fake spike game at Miami in 2014, which offensive lineman recovered an Aaron Rodgers fumble to keep the game-winning drive alive? I actually knew this one. It makes you feel better because you look confused.
No, well, you froze a little bit on Zoom there, but
oh,
yeah.
Do you want me to read it again?
No, no, no. What offensive lineman
recovered? Yeah, which lineman recovered a fumble to save the drive?
Corliss caught it. Devontae had the play before with the fake spike.
Both are true.
I'm pretty sure it's one of the guards, either Sitton or TJ Lang. For some reason, I think I saw TJ pop up on Twitter mentioning that game recently, so I'm going to go with TJ Lang.
Yep, that's right.
Awesome.
Yep.
There you go.
And that was before. Isn't there a rule now where, like,
you can't advance the ball after you fumble within 2 minutes?
Within 2 minutes. That's the rule? Okay. I thought it was something else. But
I believe that's what it is. Good. Hey, I'm glad I got that. I don't think I've gotten one in the last couple of weeks. I'm probably at a solid 40% on the year.
That drive was such a fun drive. Like, that is, like, one of the drives that will, like, hang in my memory forever. Like, the fake spike. Mm-hmm. And then Corliss catching just like the little, it wasn't even a fade, it was like a little button hook right at the corner of the end zone. Like,
I remember because I watched that game in Sioux Falls. I had to go to a bar because it wasn't on like regular TV. And that last drive, like me and the dude next to me, like some black dude in a leather jacket, very cool guy. And he was just like, "What is going on?" And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, and I think he might have, like, we were both like fake spike. And of course, Rodgers did it and ended up working. I wish Devontae would have scored on that play because then it would be a little bit cooler. But I mean, they kept the drive alive.
I think the Andrew Corliss touchdown is fun too, though.
Yes, and it's nice for Corliss to have a big play in his.
Was that his last year with the Packers?
I have 14? No idea. What year was it?
14.
That
feels like the last year.
That feels like, yeah. I would not have guessed that he was still on the team in 14. So
right,
cool, very cool. Are you ready for the preview?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. The Green Bay Packers are playing the Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins. I keep forgetting. They're just such a whatever franchise.
Candy ass.
Yes.
Say it.
Candy ass franchise. Yeah, with those fucking loser ass colors.
720. They are. They're candy ass colors.
720 kickoff on NBC. Mike Tirico, good. And Jason Garrett, bleh, are the play callers for this. Play callers, whatever. Narrators. Not narrative.
Commentators.
Jason Garrett is just, okay, if you're like connected to the Cowboys or the Packers, it seems like it's very easy for you to get some type of talking head job.
You at least get a shot.
Yeah. Like, even Will Blackman joins like Jim Rome every week. Yeah. And like Marshall Newhouse pops up on like NFL Network. James Jones has been around for a while. Greg Jennings. Yeah. A bunch of different dudes have different jobs in.
I am shocked that Will Blackman, but he was like, he's just a special teams guy. He wasn't even like,
yeah, I mean,
that's funny.
He did have like a 10-year career and he bopped around a bunch of different teams, but yeah, I mean, good for him, I suppose.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we won't linger on this. Packers are currently 3.5-point favorites, which is a little scary. Again, you get 3 points at home. So they're only saying we're 0.5 points better, which is half a point than the Miami Dolphins. Anyways, over-under is 47. Dolphins are 5-6. They beat the Patriots last week, I believe it was, 15-34, and they're still in the playoff hunt. Again, they're just lingering there. The AFC is a little more open than the NFC right now. On offense, Dolphins are averaging 19.5 points per game. However, with Tua, the last 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it's been, they're averaging 29 points per game, which would be good for third best in the league. So they have been better since he's been back. Pass game, again, it's been solid. With Tua being back, they're the most efficient screen and drop-off pass team in the league. Again, they have some very, very fast receivers and running backs. The rushing game hasn't been as good as it was the last couple of years with Achane and Raheem Mostert. Mostert's been banged up. Achane was earlier in the season, but as a team, they're averaging 4.1 yards per carry, which is 22nd best in the NFL. Again, the offensive players, Tua has 13 touchdowns and 4 picks, a pass rating of 106, which is pretty solid. I think his completion percentage is like 70 this year, which is pretty solid too. Remember when he led with his head a couple of weeks ago after coming back from the concussion? He was like diving for a first down. It's just... you kind of have to admire it, but you also have to be like, buddy.
You got to silence the haters right away.
Silence the haters and silence any thoughts you have in your head, because you're not going to have any once your career is over. Yeah, pass catchers, obviously Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Waddle has had a pretty quiet year, but last week he had 144 yards, which is very impressive. He didn't even have like a really long touchdown either. Jonnu Smith, the tight end for them, picked up. He played for the Falcons last year, I believe. He's been really, really good as of late. He has 535 yards on the season and had 87 and one touchdown last week. Running backs, as mentioned early on, Achan, I mean, he's their guy, second-year player now. He can break for a touchdown on just about any carry. Mostert's been not so good this year. He's been banged up a lot, but he's only averaging 3.6 yards per carry. They also have the rookie Jalen Wright from Tennessee, who had more carries than Mostert last week. And again, he's very, very fast. He's the running back I wish we had drafted when we took Marshawn Lloyd. But Nate, we'll still see very, very early in their careers. Defense, again, I mean, their defense is solid under new DC Anthony Weaver. The defense is giving up 21.5 points per game, which is 11th best in the league. 304 yards per game, which is 7th best, so pretty solid. Pass D is giving up 6.6 yards per pass, which is 4th best in the league. Running or stopping the run, they're giving up 4.3 yards per carry, which is 16th best. Do you know who their run game coordinator is? It's the return of the big return of the big bad man. He's coming back to Lambeau.
I've not at all.
After being gone for 1 year, he's not a player. He's a very, very important coach.
I don't know.
Joe Barry. Joe Barry is their linebacker coach and their run game coordinator. We stopped. We have Anthony Campanelli is our linebacker coach, and Joe Barry is their linebacker coach.
That's right. That's why I felt like I should know, because we swapped LB coaches. Yes.
Very, very important. They don't get a lot of sacks, ranked 26th in the league, only a 5.6% sack percentage. Also, they don't get a ton of turnovers, which is one per game, which is 18th best in the league. And they're
But Chop has been really good, right?
Yep. Well, so Jalen Ramsey is their best player on defense. He's still really good. I haven't heard about him in a few years, but he's as like one of the best corners in the league still. Calais Campbell has been solid on the defensive line after adding him in free agency. He's like fourth, according to Pro Football Focus, on the D-line. Zach Seller has been good for them too, ranked 15th, and then Chop Robinson, the rookie out of Penn State, who I think both of us liked enough, but he's just not a Packer type. He's more of that kind of bendy, smaller pass rusher, but he has one of the highest pass rush win rates in the NFL, and both of their safeties are pretty solid. But that's it. That's the Dolphins. Again, they're on a bit of a hot streak. It's 3 weeks in a row now with the Bears, the Niners, and now the Dolphins. I mean, I'm sure everyone's trying in the league, but these are teams who are really up against the wall, fighting for a playoff spot. Todd, how are you feeling going into this game?
I feel pretty good. They also came off of kind of like a not moving the needle game, played the Patriots. They looked good. But all in all, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not like sold on the Dolphins being good. They're like a team that has all the weapons, but like no oomph behind it. This is kind of like what it feels like to me. I don't know. There's something missing. I don't watch a lot of Dolphins games, so I can't tell you what it is, but I just don't believe in the Dolphins. Just like I don't believe in the Lions.
I just don't believe in the Dolphins. Yeah, they're one of those teams where if they started hot, I think we'd be talking about them more, but it's more so been, oh, is Tua playing? Is Tua alive? Because that's what it kind of turned into the middle of the year. Because, you know, last year they were lighting the league on fire with how many points they were scoring early on, and maybe it's just Tyreek getting a little old and him losing a step, but I mean, they've been better as of late, and McDaniel is a pretty solid coach, it seems, even though he's a lot more grubby looking this year. His hair is kind of flowing a bit.
How about this? They're not like a December win team. That's the way I feel about them. I could be wrong, but I just like, that's how I feel.
This seems like the most important home game we have all year, to the fact that on a short week, we aren't traveling to Miami. The Dolphins are coming from Miami to Lambeau, and it's going to be like 20 degrees, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be tough for them to adjust, and I'm very happy that on a short week, we're not going to Miami. You know, that's a whole other day of like just travel, which would be a huge, you know, slog on the team. And then next week, I believe we're playing the Lions, and that's just going to be a bus ride. So for having these short weeks back-to-back, I think we lucked out pretty good here.
Yeah, I also, like, it is, this team feels like, in years past, I'm not, like, super thrilled to, like, play in the cold. Like, I don't feel like it's been an advantage for us, like, it literally has not been an advantage. Mm. We freaking sucked in the playoffs in the cold at home. Like, it's not been good. But now I'm like, is this Packers team tough? Like, are we tough again?
Yeah.
I say again. I don't even remember when the last time we were tough was. Favre?
Yeah, the Seahawks.
It's been a while.
The Seahawks, the snow globe game. But even those, I mean, the Giants, when it was really cold, we lost that one. Then it's a championship game.
But, like, this team might be tough.
Might be. You got to remember, like, Zach Tom not helping up Brandon Allen. You got to remember that.
And, like,
that is tough.
The defense is kind of, like, tough and a little bit mean. Like, mm-hmm. the pass rush is pedestrian as hell. But the other parts of the defense are kind of tough. I'm like, we might have a tough team, which is kind of fun.
I feel like our offensive line is relatively tough. Like, Sean Ryan just looks like...
Sean Ryan's tough.
Yeah.
That dude's tough.
Sean Ryan is a guy where you don't, if he's at the bar you're at and it's late in the night, you don't, if he,
you just look the other way.
If you're talking to your buddy and then he looks at you, he's like, what did you say? You're like, oh, nothing. And then he, like, walk down the bar a little bit. Like,
hey, do you want a beer? That's what you say. Yeah. Hey, let me buy you one.
Yeah. Hey, you look really tough, guy. He's like, what did you say? No, nothing. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I don't know. I keep hitting Han on it because this feels kind of like a trap game too. And I hate seeing the 3.5 point spread from Vegas, you know, because that really feels like they know something that we don't know. Because I would have guessed that spread would have been like 5 points, 5.5 points.
I mean, I think if you look at it too, with those receivers going up against our secondary sub or minus Jair, it does feel like that's where the points come for the Dolphins. Right. I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of like, I don't know. That's why I feel.
I wonder if Jonnu Smith, too, is going to have a big game because we have not been able to contain tight ends very well. Kittle last week and McBride earlier this year, too, wasn't a very consistent showing from our secondary.
Yeah, good tight ends are a problem for us.
And then I guess we should look at the injuries, too. I forgot to look at the Dolphins one. I think Tyreek didn't practice, or no one's really practicing this week. They're just doing walkthroughs. It's more so just getting...
Yeah. It's like the projected or estimated... because they don't actually do practice, right? Isn't that what they do? They do like an estimated injury report?
Yep. So I would assume... Oh, and we didn't talk about it. Jair, so it came out. He told Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, and it's funny because I've listened to Matt Schneidman for, you know, the few years he's been with the Packers, and when he first joined the team, he was like, hey, I live in the same apartment or townhouse complex as Jair Alexander, was something that he said. And now it's like, oh, he was like the inside source where Jair talked to him about his injuries. I'm like, I wonder if it's because they lived in like the same place or whatever, and they just talked a little bit more. But anyways.
So I did pull it up. Tyreek was on the injury list,
mm-hmm.
but as personal.
Mm.
Non-injury rest or personal. He has a wrist, which I think is why he was limited. They had him projected as limited for Monday with a wrist.
Hmm.
And then Tuesday, he was a DNP, non-injury rest / personal.
Mm.
Which also, I think Xavier was also that.
Yeah, he was out with the personal.
Personal.
It's very, I don't know, there's a joke here. But to be out with your wrist and it being personal, it's like, what were you doing with your wrist there, buddy?
Sorry. What are you getting at exactly?
Masturbation, I think.
Ah, okay.
But
thank you for clarifying.
you asked for it. McManus. But then our injuries too, like Jair Alexander, he's not going to play. McDuffie has been, they said he wouldn't be practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper as well, Adrian Cooper, you know, he didn't play last week. I don't know if he's, it doesn't seem likely he would play on a short week unless they're kind of planning on that, and that's why they held him out. And then Dobbs with a concussion again, I don't think he's going to play. So we're a little shorthanded. I do wonder if we're going to see more from Manuel Wilson too, especially for how well he ran on Sunday. And Josh Jacobs, you know, carrying the ball 26 times, which is quite a bit. We didn't throw that out there too. Josh Jacobs has ran for over 20 or 25 carries 3 times this year, which Aaron Jones only did once, I believe, in his full tenure with the Packers. So it just shows you again that he's more of the bell cow for this team. So that's it. Dolphins, Packers, Todd, what is your score prediction for this game?
Do you want Billy's first?
Yeah, sure.
Billy's got 30-20 pack.
Okay. Cool.
There was no reasoning behind it, but I kind of like it. What I had, I kind of feel like there's a garbage garbage time touchdown coming here, but I'm going to say 23-27 Packers.
I'm going to switch it up. Dolphins are kind of healthy. God, it's just it's a weird week. It's a weird week on a short week, Thanksgiving, Dolphins traveling. I feel good that we're going to win this game. But I, again, don't like Vegas having that line what it's at. So I'm going to have the Packers losing 23-24 on some last second field goal. Maybe there's a couple bullshit Tyreek Hill plays where Eric Stokes cannot play on him or whoever. Like, I think that's going to be the biggest matchup, is obviously all the speed that the Dolphins have. Hopefully the long Lambeau grass will slow him up a bit, but
That's a good point. It actually probably will.
I feel like we're due for a letdown game, and we've gotten pretty close lately with the Bears game and even the Jaguars game where we didn't play well down the stretch. So I don't know, maybe one more game where we slip up before we get into the final third or quarter of the season. It's winding down. Fuck, this is already, what, week 12 we just had?
I don't know if we're due for a letdown game. I was pretty let down by the Bears game.
Yeah, but we won.
But it was pretty bad. It was pretty much a letdown.
I guess, but it's the best kind of letdown. I mean,
that's true. It is the best kind of...
We won the game.
It's the best kind of letdown.
Todd, what is your bold prediction for this game?
I think
I don't like this hesitation in your voice.
No,
already.
I like it.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be good, and I think it's going to hit. I'm going to say, I don't know. This is a tough one because I'm going to say 200 yards for, why am I blanking on the running back's
Josh
name?
Josh Jacobs. Yeah, I mean, he's only been here for this year, so
200 yards. I just feel like there's been like three games this year where I'm like, oh, he's 100 yards at half. This is going to be insane. And then the second half, he gets like 10 or 15 yards, and I just like don't know what's happening. I feel like we're going to have to run the ball in this game
to keep the ball away from the receivers. IVs last week because he was cramping up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just feel like we're going to have to run the ball in the second half and be effective with it. And so I'm like, that's going to give us, because like we're going to come out and run the ball, right? Like that's what we're going to. I read somewhere too that like the Dolphins have like a bottom three tackle rate or whatever. Like they miss a lot of tackles.
I think in their secondary, yeah, I did see that too.
And so I was like, I feel like that's just like kind of a recipe for success late game, which like he's shown up huge in the first half a bunch. And like, if he puts together a complete game, he's got a 200-yard game, right? Like if he plays like he does in the first half, it's crazy. So that's what I got.
Okay, I don't hate that. Did you? The other stat from this past week was, I think Nagler tweeted this out. Josh Jacobs is 900 whatever rushing yards is the most through 11 games for a Packer since Amon Green in 2003, and in that year, Amon Green had like literally 300 or 400 more yards than what Josh Jacobs has right now. Like that's just how crazy of a year Amon Green had in 2003.
That is crazy.
What is Billy's bold prediction?
He has Chris Brooks scoring a touchdown.
Okay.
It doesn't say how, but he just has it as, which I think is fair.
Yeah, I should have picked that too, because do you know where Chris Brooks played football last year?
Miami.
Yes. Revenge game. Huge revenge game for Chris Brooks. Yeah, I wonder if there will be a prop for that. I would like to put some money on Chris Brooks scoring because the Packers like to give, you know, they have certain personnel for certain plays, and I think he hasn't scored for the Packers yet. I think they'll have him score against his former team, but we'll see how the game goes. My bold prediction, we talked about him a little bit earlier, how, you know, he's been better as the season has gone on, especially the last month or so. He's just been a lot more steady, a lot more solid. We haven't seen him make mistakes. He's playing more clean. I have Javon Bullard getting his first career INT. Tua's a weird quarterback, too. He's a good, like, anticipation thrower. Like, he doesn't throw rocket balls. He just kind of lofts it up, and they happen to drop in the right spot. You know, it's a very different type of quarterback. More of a finesse-type thrower than anything else. So I think hopefully he'll throw a bad ball. It's going to be cold again. I don't think these Dolphins are going to... We played them 2 years ago, and I know the Dolphins practice outside, or they like turned the AC up in their facility, and McDaniel made a bunch of like comments about being cold. Yeah, I should have looked this up. They had a whole big thing about playing in the cold, and we did end up beating them. But God, I think that game was in Miami. Maybe it was in the playoffs. They're playing the Bills, and it was really cold. That's probably what he was actually talking about. But we did play the Dolphins 2 years ago. But okay. Again, I think that was in Miami, and it was late in the season. Anyways, I have Tua throwing a pick to Javon Bullard, or at least Bullard getting a interception in this game. That's it.
That's I kind of thought, too, just like similar to how you're thinking, I kind of was going to say X with two picks just because he's trying to force the ball down the field. X going to give it to you. I don't know. Just feels like one of those games, too, where X could have a big game.
Yeah, but it's also getting to that point in the season where it's like, well, how many times are we going to pick X for getting a pick, too?
You know? Yeah, that's why it just feels kind of like old hat, but it would be fun to see him pick a couple off. There's been a little bit of a drought here. It's gone, aside from last week, he's gone like 3 or 4 weeks without one prior, I think. But
yeah.
But I think he's tied for first in the league.
He is, once again, with that guy on the Lions who has like fucking summer. Oh. Yeah. With that is this week's episode. Everyone's favorite part. If you please leave a review or a rating on iTunes or Spotify, that'd be very cool. Maybe tell a friend about the podcast. I haven't been saying that. Tell a friend, you know, your friend who likes the Packers too, your friend, maybe an enemy or a friend. Tell them, hey, there's this podcast.
Don't tell your enemies.
I like listening to, if they're a Packer fan, that maybe if they're easily swayed enemies, tell them about the podcast. I don't know where I'm going at here. But yeah, leave a review, leave a rating. You can email us at pppodcast@gmail.com. I forgot to check the emails this week, but we did not have any comments on Spotify. We did not have any new reviews on iTunes. So, hey, come on, people. I know it's a busy time of year, but just take that extra two seconds.
What do you guys got going on?
Yeah, just leave a comment that says poo poo pee pee or wow, SVP is back. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about this? Share your own vomiting story. Everyone has a fun vomiting story.
No, share your own shit story.
No, we have enough shit stories. I think I can find shit stories with the Packers. The vomiting ones have been tough.
Mm, okay.
Good. Very good. Very good discourse there. I want a vomit story. No, I want a shit story. Both are very, very important. But yeah, if you want to do that,
send us your favorite piss stories.
Yes. Share us any. Give us any. Again, I've talked about it before. I wish there was snow outside, but the best piss, top piss, is out at the hunting shack. You've had a few beers. You go outside. You look up at the stars, but you can't usually see as well in the cities. And you just go up, looking up at the stars, and you just piss into the snow. There was no snow, but it was best piss.
Can I raise you stepping out of the ice house and doing the same thing? Because there's always snow.
Yeah, well, not always. It could just be ice.
There's ice. There's always something to piss on.
Have you ever pissed so hot that you made a new hole and you didn't need an auger?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, you piss molten lava.
That's always what happens. Right. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what Matt LaFleur does. I don't know if anyone's still listening. With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
I just had wrote some stuff in my notes, and I'm just going to say this one last thing.
Okay.
Does Jordan Love heat up when it gets cold?
Ooh.
Something to think about.
Well, have you seen the whole thing? It's a Toyota-thon. Once Toyota-thon starts every year is when
I did see
that. Well, that was the...
Is it Toyota-thon?
It must be. Well, the other big thing last year, too, at this time was the Lions or the Packers hadn't lost during a whatever moon, some specific type of moon.
Oh, jeez.
And they were
Who
right.
Who figures that out?
It's I forgot the guy's name. He's got a goofy name on Twitter. It's usually baseball stats. But he pointed it out, and he was right last year. So maybe we'll get that same moon again on this Thanksgiving, and we can beat the Miami Dolphins.
You know, they say correlation is not causation, but this really seems like causation.
Did you have any other notes?
I said, is Christian Watson MVS but taller? I don't even know if he's taller. I assume he is.
He has to be. He's a fucking superhuman.
And then I had, are the Packers tough?
Okay. Well, I think we...
All good questions.
All extremely good questions, which have yet to be answered. We don't know for sure. It's funny, too. Like, MVS is having a decent year, even though he's bopped around on a couple teams. Like, he's had another 100-yard game somehow, like, with the fucking
Saints. A tweet, and it was like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling... stifled by poor quarterback play, and then it listed Aaron Rodgers. Was it Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and wasn't it who?
Josh
who
Allen. Was he with
it was Josh Allen last year.
I forgot about that. Man, he has been riding the coattails.
But then it's like, but then it was like, the tweet was like, finally heats up on a good team with quarterback Derek Carr.
And I think when he first got there too, that other backup quarterback was still starting for him. Spencer, I almost said Spencer
Havner.
Rattler.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Cool. Do you have anything else?
Those are all my notes.
Awfully rude because, hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You know, if you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, okay, you should be. So I guess I'm the only one here in the Thanksgiving spirit. Todd doesn't give a shit about you spending time with your family. But, hey, I really hope you have a great time with your family and that you drive safe to eat that big old glossy turkey.
Yep. Drive fast. Take chances.
Mm-hmm. Every turkey is glossy. With that, what do I say here? Oh, AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy, just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here.
There's this little like box that you have these figurines and you set them on top of the box and then it plays a song.
Yep.
Or like, it's called the Tony box. And his Tony, that's Cookie Monster, when you set on there, Cookie Monster goes, "Oh, hiya!" So he calls him hiya.
You can get a full men's plush Cookie Monster outfit for $76 that will arrive
that
on Friday.
Cheap. Holy buckets. They're basically giving them away.
There's an inflatable one for $60.
You would probably be scared of the inflatable one.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.